right, well, if you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn to Exodus chapter 15. And I know some people don't like the sermon part of the service there, right? And I was going to have 4 points, kind of the final 4 points, but I couldn't do that after last night. Laugh, laugh. We lost. So I'm not having 4 points. I'm going back to 3 points. And we're going to talk about how does Moses respond to this, in a lot of ways, this central miracle of the Old Testament, the parting of the Red Sea. How does Moses respond? I mean, what did Moses, what welled up inside of him, right? This stuttering, stammering leader who needed another guy to come and help him talk to Pharaoh. His disbelief, his unwillingness, God worked through all of that. And now we just see, man, the waters parted and a million Israelites walk through the Red Sea with, you know, these walls of water on each side. And then right when the Egyptians get into the middle of the sea, God says, okay, I'm going to bring the waters back together. And we're left with a bunch of Egyptians on the shore, and they're dead. And these were the titans, right? These were, these are the manliest men that there were. And, you know, Yahweh God's bigger than them. How does Moses respond? And I think as we think about Moses and you think about the joy that he must have felt, I want you to kind of parallel that with, hey, coming in down the Jerusalem road, the Jericho road, right into Jerusalem. Here comes this king, right? This carpenter king, right? This king that started out as a baby who was supposed to lead this revolution, and he was, but it was subversive, right? The upside-down kingdom. He said the way up is the way down. If you want to be first, you have to be last. It was counterintuitive. So he's doing this. And, you know, we see these acts of redemption. And what are people's response? Here's Exodus 15. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. I mean, is that not unbelievable? And that's the song that Moses sings. That's the passionate, right, praise song that he's saying after seeing this act that literally saved all of Israel. And I want to do something a little different this morning because I want you to think about how we sing. I want you to hear, even in this song, how do we do that? How does the church worship? Because, you know, in a lot of ways, worship can be the most divisive thing in the church today. It can be the thing that I'm going to leave this church if you worship this way. Or I'll go to your church if you worship this way. And here's Moses singing. And he's singing about all these different, all these different facets of God, right? And we think about, you know, the benediction. Zephaniah, his benediction to us every Sunday. We have a singing Savior. He rejoices over us with singing, right? He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. So Jesus sings to us, and we sing back to him. But how are we supposed to do that? I mean, when we look at Scripture, when we think about God, how should we do this? You know, I think when you think about how God spoke and it was, how Isaiah says, you know what, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. He is so above us. He's so transcendent. We can't even touch him. I sometimes can picture myself in a cathedral, right? And it's this huge, huge room, right? With this roof, I don't know how, or ceiling, you know, 30, 40 feet high. And you think how big God is, because when you come to church, here's what you should feel. You should feel small, and you should worship that way. You should worship a God who's what? Who is absolutely transcendent, right? And the music that West Town or the Church Universal sings should sound that way. Maybe like our culture, we might hear it like this. Let's hear this clip. It's Luciano Pavarotti, right? Oh, that's a high D right there. It's unbelievable. All right, so there it is, right? I'm going to sing, right? I won't sleep, nasun dorma. I will not sleep. Why? Vichero, because I will win. And it's this beautiful, kind of like hauntingly transcendent sound, right? The classical sound. And so the Christian church, we took it and we've made these beautiful orchestrations of it, right? So Handel did it this way. This is from Handel's Messiah. Listen to this. This is Glory to God. God is big. Listen. God in the highest, right? A doxology. He also gives us another famous song that we heard in that Handel's Messiah and the Glory. So let's just play a quick section of that. Can you see a big choir? I see a big choir, right? Big church. You feel small because God is big and He is sovereign, right? And He is way over us. And the church has sung that song. And it's beautiful. I mean, he is the God that was so strong, He threw Pharaoh's army into the sea. That's how big a God we have. And so we've put together hymns, right? And growing up, I remember thinking, how do I relate to a God when I'm singing a song that says, immortal, invisible, God only wise? Let's hear this. The only wise one, right? So He puts us in our place. And I remember seeing the choir and thinking, man, He's inaccessible. He's immortal. He's invisible. He's the only wise one. I am a little knucklehead. And you know what? That was good. That was good for me to feel small. It's where Moses sings this song to this transcendent God who is three in one, who is way above us. He's complete in and of Himself, yet He is with us. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He's all these things. And so finally, Handel kind of gives us this final song to God, the transcendent voice in the Hallelujah chorus. And, right? This is it. Handel's Messiah, Hallelujah chorus. I mean, that's awesome, right? Because when you sing that, and you know, all these parts are going, and the tenors are way up here, and the sopranos are even higher up, and then altos and basses, it's just full. And God is strong. Right? He is a mighty warrior. And that is a beautiful, high, transcendent voice. What do you do with that? Do we sing that voice? Do we sing the transcendent God, I am small? Because it's all over Scripture. How God knows your future. God has known your past. He knows what's going on right now. There are no secrets from this God, this immortal, invisible God. He's the only wise one. Do you sing to that God? Do you sing that voice when you're here? Because it's a great one. And I think of the Trinity, I think of God the Father, right? And He is huge. And I feel small and I'm nervous, right? Because Paul said, hey, church at Corinth, I need you to worship in reverence and in awe. That's what he says. Do we do that? Is that a voice? Do we give that to God? We give Him that transcendent voice. And a lot of us say, yes, we do. And that's the way it should be. But here's the problem, right? Here's the problem. If that is the only voice that you sing, what was Jesus? What was he? What was he? Sweet Home Alabama. Jesus was a carpenter, man. He was a carpenter, and he hung out on the Sea of Galilee, on the banks of the Sea of Galilee. And you know what? Who did he gather? 12 blue-collar dudes, for the most part. Fishermen, right? With a piece of char. No, I don't know what they're doing. But, you know, you can just see it, right? Here he is. He hasn't done anything in ministry. He's 26, 27, 28, 20. He's a carpenter working with his hands. He is an everyman. Jesus is my friend, and he is a simple man. And that, what? That gives me great joy. Because, you know what? When I think of him being so big, sometimes he is inaccessible in every way. So in other words, I don't have a personal relationship with him. But he is with us, right? He is a simple man, right? God emptied himself and he came to be with us. He's on a donkey coming in to the city of Jerusalem, Zion, right? And so we, as the church, have put songs to this, right? And you can just see, right? You can see a simple song sung to Jesus.
Water right? Can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Right? I mean, that's beautiful, right? I mean, that's the truth. Hey, we're just here. We're just a bunch of ragamuffins, and we're saved by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Praise Jesus. Yes. Yes. Right? I mean, that is all we are. And Jesus came to be with us, right? The Word became flesh and he dwelt among us. That transcendent Father, Jehovah, Yahweh, El Elyon, El Roy, he came and he sat next to me. And he sits next to you. And that's what he is. And you know what? Here's the great thing. Not only was he simple, what did he say to the kids? He said to the kids that all were here, he said, "Let the little children come unto me." Think about the song that we sing when we were growing up, right? That's it. That's it. That's beautiful. There's a fountain flowing deep and wide, right? And that's who my Jesus is. And I can sit there with my 6-year-old, with my 10-year-old, with my 3-year-old, with Jesus, and we just sing to him, deep and wide. Fundamentally, that is the truth. You know, it's been one of the coolest things about being a part of seeing this preschool really do well is coming in on Fridays and singing with them, right? And we just sing these cool songs, right? And every Friday, the last song that we sing is this one. And I know I talk about being a Seminole a lot, but this song is called "See You Later." Don't watch out for my alligator, but it reminds us to do things when we leave chapel. So let's play this one.
Goodbye. We'll see you later. Let me see.
We all go.
Goodbye. We'll see you later. Let me see your alligator. Now here we go. Don't forget to pray to God. Pray. Don't forget to love each other.
Love each other. We kind of hug each other.
God loves you.
Don't forget that.
And don't forget that we love you.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
So we're going to start that at the end of every church service. I'm kidding. No, we're not. All right. No, we're not. Hey. But it's pretty much straightforward, right? Goodbye, see you later. Don't forget my alligator. I go like that, but, you know, whatever. And don't forget to pray. How many in this room forget to pray? We haven't prayed. Some of you haven't prayed in weeks, maybe months, right? How many times have you forgotten just to love your next door neighbor? Hey, kids, don't forget to love those next to you, right? We're going to arts and crafts. Don't forget that. Hey, and by the way, don't forget that God loves you. Because when you forget that God loves you, you know what? You do a lot of dumb things. It's a simple, simple song. And so here's the thing, is that Jesus is not only tells the church to sing the transcendent high voice. He says, hey, sing the simple everyday man song, right? Sing that song. Sing it with the kids. Be simple, not simplistic, but simple in the way in which you worship me. And so you think about that. You know, you think about almost like this. If you grew up in Galilee, and by the standards of the elite Jerusalem crowd, he was kind of embarrassed. He kind of ranked embarrassingly high on the Bubba factor, right? That's who Jesus was. Embarrassingly plain and simple. But he sang the song with us. Do you see Jesus that way? Leading this blue-collar brigade, spitting, right? And singing simple and plain songs. That's our Jesus, right? That is our Jesus. Now, here's the thing. Not only do we have a God that sang that transcendent song, right? And not only are we supposed to sing that simple song, the childlike song, he also says this. He also came and engaged with culture. And Paul engaged in culture. And he said this, I'm going to go to the Areopagus. I'm going to go to Mars Hill. I'm going to go to Harvard Yard. And all the leads of their departments, the history, the law, the philosophy departments, I'm going to speak the culturally relevant message. And I'm going to say it in those types of ways. Jesus says, you know what I'm going to do? No, I'm going to talk to the teachers of the law. I'm going to talk to the Pharisees. I'm going to talk to the prostitutes. I'm going to be in culture. I'm going to engage. I'm not just going to, hey, leave culture. I'm going to engage. And so when you think about David, and he's with his harp, and he begins to write these songs, and he says, hey, we're going to sing to the Lord a what? A new song, right? We're going to sing to the Lord a contemporary song, because we have songs, contemporary songs that are on the iTunes top 40, right? Top 50, that speak to deep issues. Maybe you've heard this one. Counting Stars, right? By One Republic. Like a swinging vine, swing my heart across the line. In my face is flashing signs. Seek it out. About love, right? Intense love. We're going to do this, right? We're going to do this. And I mean, this millions. This song in itself just made millions, right? And then, you know, not only does it speak to the intense love that people want to experience, it speaks to, hey, take up a cause and have courage, right? And this is another poet in our society, Sarah Bareilles. So listen to this. Speak up. Nothing's going to hurt you the way the words do when they settle near your skin. Kept on the inside. Listen to the words here. Sunlight, sometimes a shadow. If you say what you want to say, say what you want to say, but you have to be what? Be brave. Have courage. Have a cause and stick with it. Back it, right? March, if you will. And so you have this like intense love, and then culture speaks to this intense cause, whatever that may be, right? It's singing that song. And then we also have kind of the, hey, I'm just going to be kind of cool, right? And fun and joyful. And we hear songs like this. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in right? My feet. Feel that hot blood in my pocket. He's having a good day, right? Can't stop the feeling. I can't take my eyes off of it. Super Bowl, right? Halftime of Super Bowl, right? Come on, lock the way we rock it. So don't stop. Cool, right? I'm a human. I'm walking. I have my health. I'm going to sing and I'm going to be joyful. And so what do we do? What do we do as a church? What do we do with this contemporary voice? Well, we have guys like a guy like Kirk Franklin that took a awesome kind of older song and about 10 years ago kind of redid it called Our God is an Awesome God. And he put a culturally relevant sound to it. We don't do that enough, probably. Right? It's a culturally relevant, right? It speaks to the genre that people are listening to, and it sings the song about an awesome God, right? With wisdom, power, and love, our God is an awesome God. Do we sing as a church, that voice. Because it's absolutely legitimate to have the contemporary voice. Look how Paul talked about Paul, where Paul talked. He talked in Mars Hill, and then what did he do? He used that very relevant medium to just preach the resurrection of Jesus. That's what he did, right? And so when you think of our Savior, when you think of the men of God that the scripture talks about, not only did they speak the transcendent, beautiful, high voice, right? Not only did they speak the simple voice, but they were relevant. They were culturally relevant. And as our church, as the church at large, we have tried to do this. Luke, I actually want you to go all the way to the very last one. I'm going to skip two of these. I'm going to go to the last one. And this is by Toby Mack and DC Talk. And this was done my senior year in college.
I am the king of excuses.
He's talking about temptation. Being in the darkness.
What's going on inside of me?
Talking about what's going on inside of him, right? The tension. And kind of being in the darkness. Keep going. I want to be in the light. If you are in the light, I want to shine like the stars in the heaven. Oh Lord, be my light and my salvation. Thank you. So, in 1997, I got to actually spend a half day, believe it or not, with Billy and Ruth Graham. And we then left my grandparents' house, and we went to Raymond James Stadium, where there were 65,000 people, right? And DC Talk was there sitting right next to Billy Graham, right? It's kind of neat, yeah. And they sang that song, and then Billy Graham got up and gave the gospel. And what did we see? We saw thousands, I don't know, maybe a lot of hundreds, people just stream and receive Jesus, right? And receive him. And God used, I believe, in that moment, that time, the relevant, culturally relevant voice of DC Talk. That they're just singing straight scripture. And so you think about these three voices. You think about the song of Moses, right? Our singing Savior. What's the scary part of this? Because it's very, very personal to all of us. Music genre, what we grew up with, it's very personal. And we will literally leave a body of believers that we have been in the trenches with, kind of like arm in arm, family by family, husband and husband together, trying to keep families together, moms and moms, daughters and daughters. And we will leave fellowship because of people speaking with certainty about the way it needs to be. Here's what happens with each one of these voices. You can think you're right, and that's the problem in each three of these. Because when I was in the School of Music, Florida State, I had to sing Italian arias, man. I mean, come on, just let it rip. You hit crazy. I was in huge chorales, and it was like some of these songs were so moving, and many of them were religious. So moving, just that the power of that voice. At the same time, I was playing keyboards for Campus Crusade for Christ with Dan Davis, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. And me just kind of cording, right? The simple song with 50 other college students. And then we had a contemporary service where the church was, our college ministry was speaking that contemporary voice. Now here's what happens. In the transcendent world, if you love that transcendent kind of traditional, more liturgical sound, what you can do is you can say, you see, God is so complex and so transcendent. Let's give him all that he is, right? And that's the way it needs to be done. But maybe we can quickly move into arrogance in those circles. Like, we have it right. We sing the transcendent God, right? We're above all these things. And, you know, oh, you're a part of that popcorn church over there? Oh, that candy church that does that guitar thing? Okay. Yeah, we're not that. And what happens? Satan uses it, man. It fractures. It fractures evangelicalism. That's why they call it the worship wars, right? And then you get into the relevant contemporary church, and they look and they scoff at the traditional church. They look at the liturgical high church, and they say, look at all those irrelevant people in choir gowns that are just, they're not reaching anybody. I mean, they're not even singing. They're not even close to relevant. And they almost puff themselves up because, man, we're contemporary. We're culturally relevant. And then the simple person says, no, I don't even want to think about this complex transcendent God. I keep it down here on the bottom shelf. And that's the sin of all three of these. Because what's the answer to this? They're all right. They're all beautiful. We should sing the high voice. We should sing the simple voice. And we should sing the contemporary voice. And you know what? You're probably going to have a preference. And that's probably going to affect the way in which you choose your church. And you know what I say to that? Awesome. I love that. God loves variety. It's beautiful. If you like the transcendent high voice, great. It's beautiful. You give praise to God. If you're the more simple, good. A simple, everyday Jesus is good for our souls. And if you're the culturally relevant voice, that's right. Jesus engaged in culture. He didn't just move out and just stay on the outskirts. He was right there. And he sang that song. And so as you think, as Westtown, we are what we are. You know, some people say we're blended. Some people say, I've told you we had a rapper come in here and said this was the driest, most traditional thing he ever experienced. I literally did. We had, and he said that. And then at the very same time, we had someone else came in that didn't come from the contemporary voice and thought we were a Motley Crue concert. They couldn't believe that there was a guitar and drum here. They both experienced the same service, completely opposite reactions. And I want to say, okay, can we appreciate the transcendent, simple, and contemporary voice? Because that's our singing Savior. He sings over us, and we're called to sing that back. What do? Man, we kill this worship war, false dichotomies, right, against each other, and we just say, no. We want to sing a simple song, right? Come in on Friday mornings. Hey, if you need a smile to start your weekend, get here at 9 o'clock, because you will see 150 bobbleheads singing beautifully to Jesus, and we all do it together, and we do motions, and it's awesome, right? I mean, hey, you know, even with Paulie in the choir, they sing more, they've done more of the transcendent, you know, traditional voice, which is beautiful. And then more regularly, we have a contemporary sound that's offered. Some people say it's more or less, but it's what we feel like is right for who we are. And as you think about worship, you know, we should be singing this week, right? We're singing all the way to the cross, and we sing all the way to the stone that was rolled away. And we sing, right? And we sing simply, and we sing engaged, in an engaged way, and we sing in a beautifully transcendent way, because he's above us, and he's going to do whatever he's going to do. And you can't thwart God, because his character and his covenants will not be thwarted in any way. And that's what it is. So where are you? And how do you sing? And maybe you could step in and sing maybe a voice or a sound that you haven't sung before or appreciated that. And see how it lifts us into worshiping and honoring God. Our singing Savior, right? My professor at RTS said it's Bach, Bubba, and Blues, right? Bach, Bubba, and Blues. The three voices of our singing Savior. Let's pray, and let's ask God to be with us as we think about the song of Moses and we think about the songs that we are singing. Father God, the horse and the rider were thrown into the sea, and Moses sang, and God, the Israelites sang after they slayed Goliath, and music is powerful, and singing is powerful. We were made to sing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's what we're called to do. We're called to sing the old song, the ancient song, the new song, Father, and may we embrace it, all three of these, God, and may you bring the church together as we worship a triune God, a God who loves communion. Don't let Satan fracture the church at large. Don't let us look at any other church and say, oh, they're a sellout in whatever way, either complete relevance or total irrelevance. Check our egos, God. Humble us. And God, may we sing with our heart, God. May we sing with our soul. And may we sing together, because you love a church that is one and that is unified, God. We thank you for Jesus and his voices in your name.